Welcome to another episode of the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. Today, we are discussing how to peak at the right time. And joining us will be former Toronto Raptors assistant coach and current Raptors 905 head coach, Patrick Mutombo, and former D1 player and coach and current director of girls basketball at the Pacers Athletic Center, Wendy Gatlin.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. Here are your hosts, Dallin Cuff and Monica McNutt.
And we're excited to have two great coaches joining us. He is the current head coach of the Raptors 905 of the NBA G League. He started his coaching career in 2011 as an assistant at his alma mater, Metro State. He has also coached for the Denver Nuggets, Toronto Raptors, and Austin Spurs. He played professional ball in Europe and in the G League. Happy to have Patrick Mutombo with us. He joins us today. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
I am fantastic. We're so excited to tap in with you today. But we have one more guest. We are thrilled to have her. Wendy Gatlin is joining us. And she was an all-state player growing up in Florida, played college ball at the UNC, and coached at several D1 programs, including Iowa, Marshall, and Butler. For the past 10 years, she has been coaching at the youth level and is currently the director of girls basketball at the Pacers Athletic Center. Welcome, Wendy. What's up, Wendy?
Hey, Monica. Thanks for having me.
We are thrilled to have both of you guys with us today. And man, timing is everything, right, Dallin?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's funny, when you think about this as former players, I felt like we were never ready to peak at the right time. Although it got the time when it really was winning time, my body felt like we were in shambles. I think this is an important discussion that as technology has gone forward and science has gone forward, I think we have a better understanding how the body works. But Patrick, I want to go to you first. Take me back to when you were a player. Did you feel like this was as important a topic as you were in college and then in the professional ranks to be hitting your stride in the right time? Because, you know, winning time matters in playoffs no matter what level you're at.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Dallin. You know, as a professional basketball, my mindset was a little bit different because, you know, every day I was fighting for my job, you know. So my approach, I really didn't have the luxury not to be peaking at the right time. So I had to stay sharp and then, you know, dealing with injuries and different setbacks, especially overseas. Well, I spent most of my career in Italy and then Greece. It was just very important for me to constantly keep myself at the highest level, both physically, mentally, where I could perform. Now, things are a little different from the coaching standpoint, but as a player, it is just something that I had to make sure that I was constantly ready to go.
Wendy, same question for you. When you were playing, is it something that you're cognizant of as an athlete, or are you just always preparing for the moment?
Well, I think this is a great topic. Going back and thinking as a player, I do that constantly. As a coach, I try to remember what it was like when I was there. I constantly make myself remember those things so I can be a better coach, especially to youth. And I can honestly tell you, I had no idea. I didn't think about it. I mean, I'm gonna predate myself here, but this was when I was actually playing and competing. It was just before they instituted the rules of how many hours you could practice a kid a day. And our peak performance probably happened right at the end of preseason conditioning because it just continued. I mean, it was a mindset that more is better and more, and you just got to work harder. It was also more of a mindset of, to improve, maybe we just needed to run a little bit more. And so as a player, you were just, from my experience, it was just about enduring and hoping that you had legs when game time came around.
Not hoping you have legs. Oh, God.
Wendy, that's how I felt. I'm sorry. I feel the same. I felt the same way in college.
That's just how it was, you know. And as I've gotten older and as things have changed and as I really make myself remember what it was like. I have more of a thought process about how I run my practices and how my players are responding. I'm a little bit more cognizant to their body language, but it's different. We are more educated. Science has come into it, the analytics of it all. And so there's a lot more, I think, research that's been shown that more isn't always better.
Mm. No doubt. When you set out, and Wendy, to tag on that, when you set out to start your season, so whenever you're beginning training with each team, what are your, how do you lay out the year from a training standpoint and a practice standpoint as you want to try to peak at the right time?
Okay. And this is going to, it's going to be different for, I think for depending on who you're coaching. If you're coaching high school, if you're coaching more of an, a summer travel kind of program, or if you're doing college, there's all these different elements, but there's definitely a pre-season in every category that you're going to coach, high school, college, or even summer. And during that time is where you got to try to get your fitness level, I believe, up to the highest level. So I'm coaching mostly travel, but with my younger than high school, I have them year round. So before we're going to go into competition, I really have to kind of evaluate where everyone's fitness level is. And so when I devise my practices, early on, there's a lot more full court kind of drill work that I'll do. I try to incorporate some type of concept defensively or offensively in some type of a full court drill so that I can get conditioning. I just find with the limited amount of time that I get with my players, I found it counterintuitive to put them on the inline and just run sprints. I need every 10 to 15 minutes of teaching, instructing, and refining. So in the beginning, we do a lot of full court drill work, a lot. They don't like it, but hey, that's it. It's either that or we just throw the balls out and run.
Yeah.
And then as we transition into playing more of refining the drills, we still have to do full court work because we have to maintain that fitness level. But I watch their bodies and I listen to them. Like that's so huge. If you man, coach, it's been a hard week. We had this, we had that, I had this, and I'm like, yeah, it's Thursday. I'm hearing, coach, I'm dying. So maybe it's more of a little mental workout, less full court. You know, you just have to kind of listen to the players to keep them at a level you want. You can't just stop running. That's part of it, but you have to then taper how much full court work you're doing in your practices.
But okay, so Coach Gatlin, you're working with youth. Coach Mutombo, you've got guys that are trying to be pros. Yeah, so
right.
what does that look like for you? Because I imagine, hey, reserve a little bit of this because we have a long season, doesn't quite play as smoothly to a guy that's trying to make the most of an opportunity to get the call up to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely, right? There's a fine balance there. Like to start out, you're right. That's the main thing. These guys are trying to us, the way we look at it, our job as coaches is to take them to a place they couldn't get to on their own. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a reason they're here. There's a reason we have them. And part of our job, if not the biggest part of our job, is to take them out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it means pushing them a little harder than they thought it could go.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we do the, all the while being cognizant of the fact that this is their career and you have to protect them and you don't want anybody to get hurt. So while we do Monica, Dallin, we sit down with our sports science people and we develop a flow, like a practice flow, a training camp flow, right? So we know where everybody is physically. We know where the challenges are. And the way I've done it is I like to start slow and then ramp things up. From my experience has taught me in a lot of teams I was part of, especially as an assistant, the first day, 2-a-days, mm-hmm. 2-hour practices, let's go, let's get it. And then by day three, hamstring and groin and ankle and people. So what I've learned, and actually I stole that from Coach Popovich, just mm-hmm. seeing him working for Austin, we had the privilege to be there for Austin Spurs. We had the privilege to be with the Spurs all throughout training camp and kind of see how, and they had an old team.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear me. They had an old team. But then those guys, they just ramp things up slowly. So that's kind of the methodology that I've utilized. And then, yeah, at some point, guys will get tired. But then we always careful knowing, okay, fatigue is part of the game and pushing through fatigue is also part of the game. Pushing their bodies through when they feel like, man, I can't go any longer. You push them a little bit more, but then you're responsible and you pull back because what we found is that once you push them, once they get to where they don't think they can go any longer, you push them a little further. Now we have better conditioning and we're able to execute under duress, under extreme fatigue, because guess what? In the fourth quarter, that's what the game will suggest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's kind of our approach to that.
You heard Wendy talk about listening to her players, and that's even at a youth level. A lot of times you hear, you know, pros know their bodies. They've been doing it for a long time. They've been coached really hard, and you kind of have an understanding. But if you were giving some advice or talking to other young coaches, high school coaches, people that are dealing with people that may have not learned to push through that wall yet, how would you manage that balance of listening but also pushing with younger folks, less about pros?
That is a great question. I'll tell you what, hey, Del, I've been young too. I've been young too. I remember, you know, one thing I know, man, is that our body can endure more than we think. You know, mm-hmm. I'm off the school of, yeah, you know, there's times when you feel like, yeah, you listen to your body, but it's amazing how when you make the decision to take it a little further, right? And it starts with your mind, your body mm-hmm. follows. So there's a fine balance there, because I do think that it is important for athletes, especially for young players, to understand that you can push through pain, mm-hmm. right? I'm not saying, you know, injury. I'm saying mm-hmm. pain. And pain cannot always be the stopping point. Fatigue cannot always be the stopping point. So I'm more of the school of thought of challenging them a little bit more, because, man, I find it so fulfilling to see a young player who went further than he thought he could because you pushed him. You know, so listen, but also I think have a balance of knowing that your job, again, is to take him outside comfort zone and get them to do something they didn't do, they didn't think they could do, go farther than they thought they could get to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This conversation, we kind of immediately went to the physical nature of peaking, right? And playing your best basketball. But just like we all know, I mean, the game is what, 80% mental? Some will argue even mm-hmm. more than that. So what is it, how do you define, Coach Gatlin, sort of peaking in totality, like thinking your best basketball as well as being able to execute that physically?
Well, and they are two different things, but they actually, I believe that they go hand in hand. Some of the things that I incorporate in my coaching and in my teaching of my players is that if you think a certain way, that's how your body is going to react. Mm. But if I can get your body, if you let me mold your body and your skills to a physical point where you don't have to think about it, then you can control your thoughts. So a lot of times I tell my players, when you get tired because your fitness level is poor, the first thing to go is not your skills or your body. It's your mind. It's not your legs. You just stop thinking about the details of how to be successful. So I always tell them the first thing that you need to do when you are tired is to change this. Change what you're thinking. Change this body language. Change this. You're not going to die today on my court. Or some of the things that I say to them, sit down, get low, and suck it up. Now, sometimes kids, especially with youth, they'll get hurt. There's this dramatic thing and I'll pull them. I'll say, and you don't coddle. I think coddling kids is the worst thing that we can do. And I say to them, all right, are you in pain or are you fearful of pain? Or are you actually hurting? And they're like, well, no, I think I'm afraid. I said, okay, I can understand the fear. Let's go back in. And I just put them back in. Mm. There's a difference between fear and pain. And if you're in pain, then you need to stop. But if you're fearful, then you need to go back in, mm. you know? And I just talked to them about, you know, what is it that you're thinking of when you're doing these things? What can you tell me why it's important? And so the constant questions of why, what are you thinking, helps them then be in the right frame of mind when they are fatigued. So it's a balance of being physically fit so that you can think correctly. And then as you progress through the season, you aren't even thinking about those other things. And so that's when you're mentally where you are physically. I don't know if I explained that correctly, but all of those processes go hand in hand. When they're tired, they cannot think.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
I had a coach who used to always say fatigue makes cowards out of all of us, which is kind of that deal. But I guess kind of similarly, Patrick, how do you guys focus on the mental piece of it? And that's a great point by Monica, that we are talking physical, but the mental piece, how do you address that?
That's extremely important. I think it starts with the conversation we have with them from day one. It's such an important piece that, you know, whether we're watching film or we are getting ready for a game or we're at practice, we always talk about the mental component, because if you get that part right, you know, everything else, we feel like everything else will follow suit. So we challenge our guys a lot, you know, because the way we look at it is that, yeah, we wanna take your skills to another level and add some things. And for some guys, it's trim off some things and give them maybe a different focus. But the mental part is also something that we work on and we seize every opportunity to address it, right? When there's a defensive breakdown or we don't like our collective approach, you know, we have a collective mindset with our team. But we talk about, okay, where are we here mentally? Okay, is this mental toughness? How are we manifesting mental toughness? How are we showing mental toughness? You know, and then we get to things that we can really measure. So it's not some abstract things that we can really say, okay, so we say we are going to be mentally tough. What does it look like? Well, we've had a back-to-back, and this is the second night of a back-to-back, and then we're playing the game and going through a little bit of adversity. Well, this is when we got to pull into, you know, what we say we're going to be. You know, for us also, Dallin, it starts with the meeting that we have before everything even starts. We decide that we are going to be a mentally tough team. Mm-hmm. So now, because we've said that, we have to attach to it things that prove that very premise that we've just declared to ourselves, that we were going to be mentally tough. So it's very important, and it's all over what we do.
Definitely. I think we've approached this idea of peaking to the length of a season, a single season, but we can all think of our favorite athlete or players, or even over our own careers, where like you peaked at this point in your career. Right. I don't know if there is a formula to make sure it's done at the right time in the big picture. But what are some consistent ingredients, I guess, would be the question, that would help players to bring out the best of them in themselves? Coach Gatlin.
And I'm glad you came back to this, and it's going to probably all tie in together, because Coach Patrick and I were talking about the mental toughness and how you mentally approach the game. But every athlete or anybody that's doing anything competitive, it really all starts with how you perceive yourself. So part of peaking and being competitive is, and I don't want this to be a catchphrase, it's not really about self-esteem as much as it's about self-awareness and self-assessment. So with my kids, I never thought that I'd be able to coach second, third grade kids, like never. Like I thought, oh no, this is never. And I have found that even at that age, it's important that you're honest as coaches, that you're honest with players, you find out what they want. And so that they can then have a pathway to get to where they want to get. You have to be honest with them. So even like Patrick said, in the beginning of the season, you know, I talk with my players. I have to know what their goals are. I don't coach for me. I mean, I'm getting nothing out of this other than seeing them succeed. And so through the course of the season and through the course of their careers, hopefully they'll learn, if this is what I want, I've been told what's required to get there. And if you're helping them reach their goals and you're honest with them throughout the entire process, they will peak when their bodies and their minds all come together. And they'll begin to understand, all right, this is where I want to go. This is the things that are required to get there. Can I do that? Am I capable of doing that? Do I want to do that? Mm-hmm. And when those three things come together, you see players beginning to peak. But the mental, the physical, and then the emotional, maybe it's the emotional part of it. There are so many players that want to be mentally tough, but they really don't have any self-awareness that they don't really like what they're doing. They think that they're great and they're not. Mm-hmm. You have to be honest with them so they can assess themselves. And that's when they begin to say, okay, these are things I need to do because these are where my weaknesses are. And then they begin to work on those skills or those parts of their games that are weak, mentally push through when it's hard. And then when they're physically fit, and they push through and they know what they have to do, that's when they begin to peak.
Man, Wendy, I love what you just said about honesty. You know, mm-hmm. seriously, it's I always tell our coaches, we gotta give our guys truth. We gotta give them truth. And then because that's how you help them. Talk yeah. about when you mentioned something there about being able to just, okay, these are the things you need to work on, right? But then, you know, by being honest, not cajoling anybody, I think that's what helps them. Now they are on their journey to master those things, to perfect those things, or to acquire those skills. And then probably for young players, when the body catches up with a mindset and a clear path of things you need to get better at, I think that's when you peak, right? I just love the way you phrased it.
Wendy, I think it's an outstanding point. And let me ask you an additional layer of it, though, as being a person that's dealing with, you said second, third graders, youth levels across the board, parents, how are you? I mean, a lot of people listening to this are people in a similar position. They're coaching kids still, whether it's high school or below. How are you able to have those, or are you able to have the same honest conversations? Because sometimes kids might be more receptive than the adults.
I am so glad that you asked me that question. And here is the solution. First, see yourself as a teacher, not as a coach. If you're coaching youth, see yourself as a teacher. Second, include the parents. If you're confident in what you're doing, after every one of my games, well, and there was a times during COVID where we were still playing in Indiana. Yeah. We couldn't group after the games. I invite my parents to hear my post-game conversations with my players. Now, they don't get to comment necessarily unless I ask for their comments, but I'm confident what I'm trying to teach. And I understand that the perception and how a 14-year-old girl perceives what a coach is saying is different than what a parent might perceive it. And every time those kids leave me, they get in the car, or if they don't leave me, when they leave their youth coaches, they get in the car with their parents, and the first thing the parent asks is, what did your coach say? And the kid mm-hmm. can't necessarily tell you back exactly what they said. I mean, I was the same way. My twins play basketball. What did your coach say? What did your coach say? I'm asking that question so that I can help them process it. But I invite them, and I'm very honest. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a situation just recently. We were winning a game, time and score situation. We were up by three with like 24.6 seconds left in the game. And my best shooter comes down, we pass it, she gets it back, and she jacks up a three. I about lose my mind. I mean, why? Thankfully, the rebound went long and tipped off, we got the ball back. But after the game, I mean, and she's a shooter, so you know, I have to be careful with shooters' mentalities. I said, listen, hon, I said, I love you, but listen, if you shoot that shot at the end of the game and you make it, it's still a bad shot. We don't need that. And here's what you need to know why. And I'm saying this in front of her mom. I don't want you to shoot that shot. Mom shaking her head. Dad's going, you're right, you're right. I said, you have to understand that if you do that with another high school coach or somewhere else, they lose trust in you. And they're not sure that they should put you in at the end of the game, no matter how good of a shooter you are. So you have to understand when, where, why, time and score. That shot, even if you make it, it's a bad shot. So parents are there. They understand. I didn't tell the kid not to shoot. So when they go back in the car, they can discuss it with the information that I've provided the way that I want it to be perceived.
That is very thorough. I love that. Mm-hmm. I yeah. love
Include the parents. Be confident in what you're teaching.
That's awesome. Okay, so Patrick, I guess you obviously don't have to deal with parents in the same way.
Thankfully. But don't worry, I don't know if I have your patience.
But when you are dealing with your guys,
yeah.
It's interesting that we choose the word peak, right? Because peak kind of indicates that you're going to fall back at some point, right? So I guess the sustainability of a player's peak, I mean, is peak even a word that you lean in? Or like you said when we started this podcast, you are just helping this player become the best that they can be?
Well, for me, Monica, well, let's take it from a team concept, right? The team is going to peak at a certain point. Like we talk about from when we start, we have our first meetings, our first practices, training camps, you install your defense and then your offense and things are not quite there and you're learning the players and that sort of thing. And then at some point, all that stuff comes together.
Yeah.
And you're playing great basketball, you know. I think the same thing happened. Now you hope you don't come back down.
Yeah.
and then you stay there and you keep going on and hopefully it ends up being a situation where you win the championship. But for a player, you know, I feel like it's the same thing, you know, from when you're acquiring them and you're trying to take his game to the next level and you add some things and you correct some things. And there's always a period there where he's trying to figure it out. He's trying to understand what the expectation is and you give him truth, clarity, and then you give him a path of how to get there, right? You give him a vision and then you start the journey together. And to me, when it clicks and he gets it, he understands it, puts in the work and the work start to show, to me, that's sort of what I call peaking, right? Playing great. And the goal is to keep him there. But there will be some times where he's not able to sustain it, comes back down, and then you help him back up. And that's basically how the journey goes. Because I'm not sure that anybody really remains at that level forever.
I think that's a great way to end it. Patrick, Wendy, we thank you so much for your time. This was very insightful. Thanks again. You guys were outstanding.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you again. Thanks.
Yes. On the next episode of Junior NBA Coach's Corner, we're talking the power of ball movement.
And joining us will be the head coach of 2021 ACC champions, Josh Pastner from Georgia Tech, and Providence head coach, Ed Cooley.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.